a work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And in his older age, when he wrote these letters, he did so as the rock to which Jesus had called him to be in the gospel. The first reading is from 1 Peter. And for the purpose of good context, we're going to add to Pastor's aspect of this. We're going to start on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The second reading is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with the 17th verse. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. I'd like to invite the kids to come down, if you would. You can come. Come on. Bring them down, Grandma. That's all right. Good morning to you guys. Oh, got to take his hand, huh? That's okay. You can come with. You can stay by Grandma. That's fine.
Today is my birthday.
It is. Happy birthday. You're growing older, aren't you? Well, we're talking about growing, but a different kind of growing. There's a thing that happens to us whether we want it to or not. We all get a little bit older. So when you were born, you were just 0 years old, and then you got to be one, and then two, and three, and then 4 years, and now you're 5 years old, and some of you are 7 years old, and some of you are a lot older than seven.
I'm nine.
You're nine. Good.
Six.
Six. Good.
And I'm three.
You're three. We're getting there. You know, I wish growing up was as easy as growing old, because we're talking today about growing up. Now, a seven-year-old. Come on up here.
Eight.
Oh, I thought you said seven.
I'm seven.
You're seven. Well, all right, you get to sit down. When you were one, did your mother make you do the dishes?
No.
Oh.
No. But I'll do the dishes when I'm six.
When you're six. Mom, write that down. I heard him say it. Okay. He's already six. Good.
Yeah.
When you were eight, does she sometimes have you help and do the dishes?
Yeah.
Isn't growing up hard work?
Yeah.
Don't you wish sometimes you were just one again?
Yeah.
So you could lay around?
Yeah.
But now that you're eight, you got to do what?
Dishes.
Oh, my goodness. You want to hear something even harder than doing the dishes?
Washing your
clothes. Your poor mother, actually close here, maybe. Your poor mother, she not only has to help you wash the dishes or dry the dishes or put the dishes away, she also had to cook and bake the whole
dinner.
So it must be even harder because she's grown up a little more, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, 36. That's a little more honest. Dad, 36 yet or not? I don't know. Yes. That's hot. Well, not hard enough. It's hard to pay for the insurance and the gas, that and the car. The driving gets way too easy.
Yeah.
All right. Now. It's like, wait, this is like my classroom. I don't come here on Sunday to do this. All right. Now, if we stop giving you any food, there's good news and bad news. You want to know the good news? The good news is you'd never have to wash dishes again.
Yes.
The bad news is you would probably, there it is, you'd probably what?
I'm going to starve to death.
You'd starve to death. Yes. All right, that's a good plan. Wait, let's go back. Come on. All right, amen. Eating food keeps you from starving too? Death. Now, how is it that you learn to grow up? Did your mom have you help with dishes a little bit at a time? Does she finally expect you to know how to put a dish away too? Oh, it only gets tougher. Pretty soon when you're older like your mom, you may have a little girl of your own and you'll have to wait on her and take care of her because she'll only be one, and you'll look forward to the day she turns 8. Well, there's 10's fine too. Then you'll have some help washing all those dishes, right?
Yeah.
Growing up is what my sermon's about. Not growing old, growing up. And there are people in the church who don't want to grow up. Wait, it's not so far away from the truth here. Why? You know why you don't want to grow up?
Yeah.
It's a lot of
walk, and I don't want to do the dishes.
You get to sit down.
And responsibilities.
Well, if nobody grew up, who would make your food?
Nobody.
She didn't want to grow up. She's going to lay around and let everybody wait on her. Would you get your food? If the farmer didn't want to work and he was supposed to plant the corn or the rice or the grain or the food, would you get any food from the farmer? Nope. If the guy who digs the oil out of the ground to turn it into gasoline so you can eventually drive a car says, I don't want to do that, I'm going to lay around, we would have no car. Well, we have no car and no gas to put in it. So here's the hard part. Growing up is
hard.
But if you don't grow up, then everything is changed and everybody suffers. So here's what I want you to listen for in the sermon. God wants you to grow up, not just with food, but also with my head, my hands, and my heart, so I can learn to wash or help somebody if they fall or put my arms around and learn how to hug and love them if they need that, if they're crying or grandma's holding them, because otherwise, if grandma never grew up, you'd never have any grandmas. And if you had no grandmas, you'd miss out on all those grandma hugs. And so you begin to learn God's calling all of us to grow up. And you know what? It's hard work. Whether you're big like me or little like you, always hard work. And yet God says, I will bless you. Now, I don't have any treat for you because I know you don't like those. No, no. I know
you.
You did. Everyone's getting shot right down, isn't it?
I can see a wrapper.
A wrapper? That's a cough drop wrapper. Well, I don't think you guys want this treat bad enough. So I'm going to eat it. This says Rice Krispies Double Chocolatey Chunk. Okay. I don't think you guys want these enough. This is the original. Oh, you're getting the hang of this. Oh, you're getting the hang of this. Oh, I'm sorry. You were second. She was, oh.
Another chocolate double.
Oh. Oh, no. I want to see the dance. Me. I don't know if I got a chocolate double. That's double chocolate. What are you whining about? Me, dance. Two hands up. There you got it. Regular one or chocolate one? There you go. The rest of you missed out. I would have kept throwing them till they were gone. I didn't see any hands up. Ah! Yeah, now. Wait, there was back here. There was a real one. Back there. Yeah, so soon old, so late smart. Diane's obviously got me figured out. Pretty good thing to eat, isn't it? Tastes all right, I hope. Oxano, grow up. We've had, this is now our third Sunday on Oxano, an understanding of growing up. And the oxano, the growing up that is necessary, is what the kids revealed. Growing up is hard work. Growing up requires responsibility. Growing up means that somebody else is going to reap some of the benefits for what we have to do and the things we have to involve ourselves with. It's no small joke, as any mother will attest. It is a wonderful moment when you can finally have your kids wash some of their own dishes. Or when they're at that age where you can actually have them put the dishes in the sink. They don't just go and crash and everything else. And then finally you can look at them and then you can divide the task and say, you wash, you dry, and you put away. And I'll tell you what to do. And I go, there is a growing up that requires some characteristics that we have to acknowledge are real. You don't just oxano. You don't just change. You don't just suddenly alter yourself because you simply want it. There's a process you have to go through. There is a working it out. There's a diligence, whether you're teaching a kid how to wash his own clothes or whether you're teaching a kid how to fold his own clothes. I'm learning that one yet. I know. But you understand that growing up is that process that God puts us in that we need to be in order to move from where we are to where God is calling us to be. I want to, where's Carol? I see she's sitting here somewhere. Isn't she? Carol, what's your assignment? Stand up and tell us your assignment for Oxano. I hope you remember. I didn't tell you this ahead of time. With the most red letters. The key is, what is Jesus did to call you to be a disciple? What Jesus is doing. You understand, the assignment is no small task. You actually have to slow down, you have to read, and it's not what this guy says or that guy says. It's going, let's examine why he said the red letters was simply because it goes, let's hear it from the mouth of Jesus. Not that the other parts don't matter. But let's just have become thoroughly convicted and convinced that Jesus is calling you to do this. Jesus is speaking this to your heart. Jesus is the one that says, tap the dirt off your feet. Jesus is the one that says, go in, and if they won't receive, walk away. Jesus is the one who initiates and teaches what discipling is really all about. And so the process and the challenge I'll offer to you is please join us. Select one of the Gospels. I don't care which one you pick. Here's the challenge. We'll have the different individuals in Oxano try to get together with you to see what observations you've made that how Christ calls us and moves us into discipleship. What are His expectations? What are the processes that He uses to bring people who are ignorant of Him into people fully committed to follow Him? So that we aren't just simply creating our own perception or drawing off somebody else, but we're going right back to the source because that's the place where you're going to grow. And so that's the challenge now. And here's the miracle of this whole section that we're trying to be challenged by and encouraged in terms of this section in Peter and other places. All right? It says this, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy, slander of every kind, and like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Every one of us has done the dance. Gimme, 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 I want, I want, I want. Maybe you haven't done it quite as visibly. Maybe it's, oh. Maybe it's, or whenever I see someone handing out money, I always put my hand right next to it. Next. You understand? There's a challenge here in this text. It asks you, it says, have you ever seen how a newborn baby is longing for that nursing, for that moment when it can begin to eat, and it craves it. It'll throw a fit. It will quiver all over the place. It'll do everything. And suddenly, that mother applying that meal into its mouth immediately silences that child, and that child begins to nurse with all the aggressiveness and hunger a brand new baby can nurse. And so using that as an illustration, all right, as an analogy, here's Peter going, I want you to love the things of God's Word like a hungry child longs after its meal. When I asked the kids to dance, it was not to be mean to them. It was because in the enthusiasm of youth, in the sense when they finally started to understand, I was looking for that shout out. I was looking for that please, or whatever you want to say, me, 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 however you want to set it up. The question is, when was the last time you were that hungry for what God has for you today? When was the last time you were so hungry for the working of the Holy Spirit that you just stepped aside and you danced in front of God and said, me, me, me? When you finally understood what God was calling you, not to sit there and dance so I can make you or trick you or deceive you, but to ask the question, do you want this? Do you really want it? Remember the man who had been sick for 40 years or 30 years, I can't remember, and he's by the well there and he's trying to get well. And Jesus comes along and he asks him this unbelievable question. Do you really want to get better? Do you really want to change? Do you want your life to improve? Are you comfortable being the family grouch? Are you comfortable that everybody's intimidated by you? Are you comfortable with your worrisomeness and your wearisomeness? Are you comfortable with characteristics that you've accumulated that now go under your name when the rest of your family labels you? Are you comfortable with some of those things, or have you arrived at a point where you sit there and go, yeah, that's the way it is? God is looking at you, grabbing you and saying, no, I want you to dance. Not for the sake of the dance, for the sake of wanting the change. The man finally had a look at Jesus and said, yes, I want to get well. Do you know what was wrong with getting well? This guy had somebody that fed him, took care of him, took him to the place of sickness, which was the equivalent of a hospital. They were feeding him, taking care of him. He'd been sick for a long, long time. He'd have been dead if people weren't doing this for him. The moment he got well, he had to go right to work. What did he have to do? Pick up his bed. First time he ever had to carry his own bed since who knows when. And you begin to understand that is not so far away from the attitude that creeps into our heart. I don't want to grow up. I don't want that thing. I don't want to be held accountable. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want more of Jesus. I don't want the rest of His Spirit. I don't want all the things that God has for me. Why? Because it means responsibility. because it means like a little child. Our brain is logical enough to go, my goodness, then I may have to wash the dishes. Then I may have to actually make the meal, and wash the dishes. And here they are going, I don't want to grow up. Or I'll wait till I'm 56 before I wash my first dish, change my first diaper, and who knows what else. And I go, why would he tell us to crave the pure spiritual milk? And he tells us to crave that pure spiritual milk of God's word. Don't compromise it. Don't twist it into something you want to hear. God really is calling you into that level of righteousness. So the red letter challenge, read the red letters. Let God's Spirit speak to you just through the words of Jesus. Select your favorite gospel. Just start. You'll be stunned what the Spirit of God, through the words of Christ, will be saying to you. What you'll be understanding came out of the mouth of Christ, not even somebody who is simply quoting, but here's the mouth of Christ speaking that word to your heart, calling you into a discipleship, calling you to faithfulness, calling you to acts of righteousness or truth or integrity, calling you to walk away from or walk toward certain things. And in the middle of that, you will begin that process of learning to crave the pure spiritual milk. It's not coming through me. It's not whether I said it the right way or presented it in a way that you were able to swallow. It is you, the Holy Spirit, and God's Word, and that's where you have to be each and every week, each and every day. Because that's where that call comes. That's where that nurturing comes. We will be little kids starving to death, although we'll all be old and getting older. Like I said, it's easier to grow older than it is to grow up. It's easier to grow old as a Christian than to grow up as a Christian. If God places more accountability and gives more gifts into my life and pours more of His Spirit in my life, He's probably going to change those things that He expects of me. I don't want to wash the dishes. Is that so far away from, I don't want to have to deal with my personality. I don't want to have to look at my grumpiness. I don't want to have to look at my worriness. I don't want to look at my moodiness. I don't want to look at these characteristics in my life. I just want to continue living this relatively comfortable path I've created for myself. And yet, if any of us had to live with you for one day, or a week, or a month, we would look at your wife or your husband and say, oh my goodness, he lives with this? She puts up with that? This is the way you talk to your mother? This is how you treat your brother? And if I, a miserable, sinful human being, would be able to discern enough about that, that I would be probably, and you would probably be shocked and stunned too, but we would be shocked or stunned. How much more so when the Spirit of God begins to tap on our life? I haven't called you to run your house with terror. I haven't called you to be compromised in the way you treat your wife. I haven't called you to find ways around those expectations I have for you. I have asked you to grow up so that I can pour more of my Spirit into you, so that you have more grace and more power and more of all the things I want. But you're never going to oxano. You're never going to grow until there is that surrender of the Spirit where you crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. And in that craving, you pull it into your life and you allow it to minister to you. The red letter challenge is not for fun. It's a challenge. Do it. Please. Not for my sake, but because Jesus wants to speak to your life. Jesus wants to speak to your heart. He wants a church full of people so fired up and so equipped with what the red letters are commanding us to do in relation to discipleship that no matter what oxano group comes out with, you're able to go, hold it, well, you missed one. Wait a minute, that's a good one. That's perfect. No, you missed that one over there. Whatever you have to say. But now you're not basing it on a set of opinions, a set of perceptions, a set of I wanna and you want us. It's based on God speaking His heart to you. Let God reveal Himself to you. Desire the milk. Crave it, as the Scripture says, and seek after that pure spiritual milk. And then he adds on the second part in 2 Peter, the last part that Steve read to you. but grow, oxano, in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The 3:18 verse. Grow up. I hate growing up. It's tough. I hate sometimes all the responsibilities. The get up at a certain time. The meet the need of somebody else. The response of this or that. And by hate, I mean sometimes it just, right? We've all been there. One of my students lost her father. Funeral was Friday. I've had a little bit of a busy week for me. I had three funerals this week and a bunch of other stuff. I had to do chapel on Wednesday. So boom, 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 boom. That was my life for a little bit. And Friday came and it was a night off. Why did you wake me up? It's the service starts at 7:30 and it's 7:00 and I have to brush my teeth. You ever done that? The Lord's calling you, right? And you just roll the excuses out? And then I got to that point where, I dragged myself through it and it's now 5 after and 7 after and, I better change all my clothes. So I had some decent clothes on and changed the clothes and, okay, this is my bargain. Please understand what a creep I am. Lord, if you get me to the service, in time, I'll go. 2 conditions. Get me to the church on time. It sounds like a song, I know. And the second one, and you better have a good parking spot. Don't you pray for parking spots? What a wiener. I don't know what word to use. I was so tired. I could tell you physically. I could tell you. And I almost made it sound spiritual when I would say, well, all right, Lord, I'll go, but you got to get me there on time. And it's way down. I had to be down at Mount Olive. And you know how tough that neighborhood is. I really need that parking spot, Lord. Well, not only did I make it by 25 after 7, there was a parking spot directly across from the church. 1 spot left that I pulled in, walked into the church, sat down, and the service was going. And I go, oh, Lord, just shut my mouth. And I go, grow up, right? Grow up, Bruce. This isn't me preaching at you. This is me speaking it over my own heart. This is me trying to understand. Sometimes we get tired. It's not a sin to be tired. It's not a sin to want to break. It's not a sin to want those things. But at the same time, when the Spirit of God says, get up and go, the maturity demands, eventually, I don't know if I use the word maturity for me, but that maturity demands you get up and you go. So here I am at this service. This young girl, 17, 16 years old, I'm not sure which age she is, my junior. This service takes place. Her dad's in his maybe late 40s, very early 50s. Just died all of a sudden. And she gets up. And no one else in the family said a word at this service till she stood up and gave testimony and witness of her faith in God and her love of Jesus and the love of her dad. You understand? Sometimes we don't always know what God is doing. But if we don't want to grow up, we will sit in the chair. If we don't want to grow up, we will be the same man and the jerk that we've been for the last 2 or 5 or 25 years. You'll be expecting people at work to put up with you. You have no room to grow because you have not done and dealt honestly with yourself. Who wants to come up and give the next testimony about how stubborn you've been? I'm not the only one in the fellowship here. I'll lay it out before you so that I want you not necessarily to, speak it out over everyone else, but I want you to be honest enough to look at yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I miss so much by not being obedient to your Spirit. by trying to rationalize and justify why I was tired and why I had a right to miss this or that or do this or do that. And I go, you will always have the flesh with you. But the Spirit of God is saying, grow up, oxano. Grow up. Get outside yourself. Step into a different level. Find out my goodness. Discover the power of my Spirit. Rediscover what it really means to live in the fullness of the Spirit. Open up these other parts of your life that you've excluded God from, where you've shoved Him and kept Him out of your heart or your life, and allow Him to have those areas back. Or for the first time, give them to Him. So that you begin to demonstrate in your own life this growing up. But grow in grace. You want to know what grace is? Grace is, I will bring a parking spot for you, Bruce. I'll have you travel that distance all the way down to 60th and Washington Boulevard. I will have you get there in so much time, you'll be stunned. And I'll have you blessed and your socks get blessed off because you took the time to go to that service. That's grace. And I had to grow up in it because I go, God, why would you do that? Why would you be so gracious to a miserable, shallow person like me? And I go, that's part of what it means to grow up. I sit on the chair and whine. I don't want to help with dishes. I'm not any different than any other 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old. And yet at the same time, God is calling us to grow up. And so here's the challenge one more time. But grow in the grace, oxano in the grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Pray with me. Grow me up, Lord. And thank you for grace I don't ever deserve. For teaching an old man the tenderness of your love. And for calling me forward. And for making me realize there's always more power, more juice, more energy, more of all things when we're doing your will. Lord, pour that into the heart of each one of us here. Help us to grow up in you. I pray this in your name. Amen. As the offering is received, I pray God's blessing on that. And remember, if you're a guest or a visitor, do not feel like you have to put anything in. If you need some, take it out.